As we were sharing on Sunday and talking about one prophecy in particular to this ministry, but along with that, we have a greater prophecy or a word of prophecy given to us in the Word of God. So if you would, let's turn over to John chapter 14 and let's look at this particular, these particular verses of Scripture in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. And and through verse 21, John chapter 14, and starting in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." He said he shall do it. "Even the Spirit of truth," this is what the Spirit of God is called, "the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." You know, if we just stop right there and just say, "I know him," and if you just say it by faith, because he said, you shall know him. Why? Because what? "He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." You know, something Brother Hagin said years ago, he said, a lot of times we miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. And we're looking for spectacular things that we see and hear, and we miss the supernatural. And the one who is supernatural lives in us, and we know him. I do. You can say what you want, but I know him. Does that mean sometimes we have to seek him with all of our heart to hear him? Yes, but I know him. Why? Because he's in me. He's in you. And you know him. Hallelujah. And the more you say it, and the more you believe it, actually, the more you say it, the more you'll believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you'll say it. And the more you say it, the more you'll believe it. And he will manifest himself more. So verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Now verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love," "and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So those that keep his commandments are those that who do them and obey them. And because we do them, we love him. So this says here, and actually, I think there's other translations that say, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them," it also means to practice them, to do them. Some other translations say that, to do them or to practice, or another, that would be another word for keeping them. So if you don't do them, it's really another way of saying, "I don't love you." That's kind of hard, but that's just what it's, that's what he's saying. If you love me, you'll keep them. So the converse would be true. If you don't love me, you don't keep them. That's what the Lord is saying. So continuing in verse 22, it says, "Judas saith unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, we can look back and see in verse 15, 16, 17, we can see here why the world doesn't know the Spirit of God. It says, even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. Boy, that's a strong statement. They cannot receive him because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So when he says, I will manifest myself to you, he's really saying, I will manifest my love to you. That's really what he's saying. Because why? God is love. If he says, if I will manifest myself to you, then he's really saying, I will manifest my love to you. I believe in even the scripture it says that nothing can separate us from what? The love of God. Right. Hallelujah. So actually, if you look and see here, real faith, if we're talking about faith or something, someone that keeps the word of God, someone who's doing the word of God, you can't do something, when you keep something or do it, you're acting in faith. Faith without what? Works is dead. I read that on Sunday. So let's take a look. I'm going to continue here. I'm going to just go back over this again. This word manifest, when he says, I and will manifest myself to him, those that keep his commandments, this word manifest means to show oneself. This is the Greek word for manifest. It means to appear, to be manifest, to make known. And actually, all of those words in some way or another are actually used in the Amplified translation. But John 13 and 34 and 35, these are his commandments. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So when we talk about the glory of God, when we were saying on Sunday, when you see somebody delivered, you've just seen the glory of God, a manifestation of the glory of God. Well, I would also say, when you go and you love someone that you couldn't normally love in the natural, and you were empowered by his glory, his assistance, his presence to love the unlovely, then you could say the same thing. They've just come in contact with the glory of God. That would be a manifestation of the love of God, the glory of God, would it not? It could be. You could look at it that way. Because you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in his power, his glory. His might has empowered you, strengthened you to love somebody. Because we can't keep his commandments without his help. If you were doing it in your own strength, you'd get the glory. But you can't. You can't do some of the things, you can't do most of the things that are of significance. You can't do them without his help. You can't love somebody. You can't preach the gospel without his anointed. Let's put it that way. If it's anointed, you got to have his help. You got to have his assistance. And the same thing in John 15, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I love the Amplified of verse 21 of John 14. It says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and will make myself real to him. Boy, that's just so good. It says here, he will love him, I will show or reveal, manifest myself to him, the one that has his commands and keeps them. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So as we keep his commandments, he said he will make himself real to us and reveal himself to us. Hallelujah. So if we say we love the Lord, then we keep his commandments. Hallelujah. And faith, actually, what does the scripture say in Galatians? I believe it's chapter 5. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. So this scripture, another scripture we were highlighting Sunday, was James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So as we do, he makes himself known. He reveals himself. As we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. So you can see, you know, just from this scripture in John 14, he says the world doesn't know him. Why? Because they can't see him. And what else does it say? He can't see him. And what? He said, the spirit of truth, you can't receive him because it seeth him not, neither what? Knows him. They don't know him. But here's the thing, you know, that's what's going on today, and that's what we were sharing. People, even that you come in contact with, have some of them will say, well, I don't believe God. You don't see him. So it's almost as if they're saying, God, prove to me that you're God. Prove to me. You know, like the creation is telling the creator to prove to them that he's God. But the scripture, let me read some of them for you. The scripture is exploding with scripture after scripture in the Old Testament and the New about the glory of God. Some of these I read Sunday, but it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So when people say, well, prove to me you're God. Well, this said here, the heavens do. The New Living says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. So anybody, just because this is written in the Word of God, and this says here, the heavens declare the glory of God, not one person could stand before God, because I believe every person will have an opportunity and God will reveal himself even through, as this says here, the heavens. So not one person could stand before God and say they didn't know. They will know just because his glory is declared because of his own work. Psalm 111, verse 3, it says, his work is honorable and glorious. I like this in the New Living. It says, everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. That's the New Living translation, Psalm 111, verse 3. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. Everything he does. everything that God does. So God is revealed throughout all of his work, all of his handiwork, right? His glory is manifested. So let's take a quick look. Let's jump over to John verse 11, chapter 11, Gospel of John, chapter 11. And let's look at verse 40. John 11 and verse 40. And sometimes it's good to get the whole story here, starting from verse 1, but we won't. But talking of, you know, just the whole story about Lazarus, even when you look in verse 4, you know, it talks about Mary saying, you know, and it, yeah, it said his in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. What does it say? As soon as Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So he was already pronouncing, this is not unto death. And so now when you go down, and then, you know, even after that, he hung out for a couple of days, didn't he? So it says he stayed for two extra days. And then they came to him and said, he's dead, and he's been in the grave 4 days. But in verse 40, and of course here you can see they put him in a cave, put a stone in front, and Jesus said, take away the stone. This is verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You know, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? You go to the cemetery, this would be like, it'd be the same thing. We don't put people in caves and put stones in front of them, but we dig up the ground and put them in. And it'd be the same thing. Dig them up. I think that would cause a ruckus, wouldn't it? Dig them up. Is that exactly what it would be? There'd be something going on. They'd have some things to say about you. And what did it say? Jesus saith unto her, who is that? Martha. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And you know the rest of the story, but here, the reason I'm bringing this out is, and it said, what does it say? And actually, I looked up in almost all the translations, it said, if you believe, it's conditional. So all the translations translated it the same way. The King James said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The Amplified says, if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God. The Message translation, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The Living Bible says, but didn't I tell you that you will see a wonderful miracle from God if you believe? So our faith has something to do with it here. This is conditional. So our faith has everything to do with a manifestation of the glory of God. So it's the same thing. We have to believe, and when we do, we will see a manifestation of the glory of God. Now, some of the prophecies that have been spoken in the Bible, I covered a few of them Sunday, in the Old Testament, Numbers 14, verse 21, it says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. This is after, you know, the number, you know, the story in Numbers 13, how they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of those in the land they were supposed to go in, Canaan land. So after this, Moses is speaking to the Lord. The Lord's fit to be tied. And so he says some things, and Moses says something, and this is what it said. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. This was the Lord speaking to Moses. Psalm 72, verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Hallelujah. And Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's just an amazing prophecy right there. There's a lot of water between the Atlantic, the Pacific, and all of the other seas that we have. There's a lot of water. And this says here, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Glory to God. All flesh shall see it. Now, I want to cover a little bit here. This word for glory, looking up just a number of scriptures in the Old Testament and the New, this word in the Hebrew, the word glory, it means splendor, it means glory, it means honor, it means dignity. These are all words that are used for this word, this Hebrew word. It means abundance, it means riches, it means reverence, it means brightness, it means magnificence. These are all the words that are used for this word glory. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, whenever you have a word, there's always a root word for it, or the origin of a word used, there's a word that it came from. And so the Hebrew word that this word that's used for glory, this root word, is actually interesting. It says to be weighty, to be heavy, to be honorable, to be glorious, to be honored. In the Greek also, in the New Testament, it means splendor, brightness, the kingly majesty of the Messiah. If you look at, even in the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and there's others, but this word weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight, it means the relative importance or authority accorded to something. So when we say his glory is weighty, it means importance. It means also, it means overpowering force. This is just in the dictionary. Something that's, if you said something is weighty, it could be used in a sentence that means an overpowering force. So this word glory in the dictionary, but in scripture, it has a variety of meanings. But just think about this. I'm going to use this particular scripture here. You can turn there if you want. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 24. The reason I'm going back and looking at this, because if we see how he manifested himself, we have a greater understanding of his glory. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 24. So as I said, this Hebrew word can mean abundance, riches, splendor, glory, honor, dignity, and so forth. Reverence, brightness, magnificence, or you could say greatness. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, "And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his what? His greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth." The Bible in basic English said, "The Lord has let us see his glory and his power." See, another way that the translators translated it, they didn't say greatness, they said his glory and his power. The Young's literal translation, which is probably a very accurate translation, it says, "Jehovah our God hath showed us his honor and his greatness." His honor and his greatness. Interesting. Listen to these scriptures. Listen to this scripture here. Ephesians, or you can turn over here. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a familiar scripture to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Talking about his glory. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding what? Greatness of his power." That word power is dunamis, or you could say his might and his ability, but he's showing us the greatness of his power, the greatness of his glory. See. But what's interesting is, what does it say? "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward who believe." Isn't that what Jesus said to Martha? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. See? So God is saying here, Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." John 17, let's look at this scripture here. A lot of times it's interesting to go back and look at scripture that we know in the light of a topic that we're discussing. John 17, verse 22. John 17, and it says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved," "and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me." Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me." "For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Hallelujah. Let You don't have to turn to these. I'm going to just read these here. Psalm 29 and verse 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So we're to give him the glory, the honor, the greatness, the accord that we're supposed to reverence, would be another word you could say. We're to give him the glory that's what? Due unto his name. Same thing in Psalm 96, verse 8. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Psalm 24, verse 10. "Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Selah. Hallelujah. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. So you can see here when God says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." That means when we come and we assemble together, we're to just, it's not just ho-hum, it's another service, ho-hum. We're here to give him honor and glory, the glory due his name. So when we come, we give him the honor. We give him the glory, regardless of how I feel, because he's worthy to receive the glory. Hallelujah. Because he's great. Hallelujah. And that's not ho-hum. I could be dragging, but my heart says, I may be dragging, I may be tired, I may hurt, but I'm going to give him the glory due his name. It's a heart thing, see? You come dragging in and go, I don't like this. He gets the glory. If you weren't tickled one way or another by something that happened, you come and give him glory just because he's due it. That's what God is saying. And he's pleased with that when we do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can turn over here, 1 Samuel, because it kind of goes along with this in a way. It's just something that we keep in mind. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." The New Living is probably more, English friendly or modern, I guess you would say it. It says here, "I will honor those that who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me." See? He wants us to do what? Come and do what? Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Do his name. Right? That's what he's really saying. So the Holy Ghost will manifest himself, God by his Spirit will manifest himself where he's appreciated, where he's honored, right? And where he's lightly esteemed, you see the results of that, right? It says he will lightly esteem them. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's look at this scripture quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. So the Holy Ghost manifests himself where he's honored and valued and appreciated. So 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, For the eyes of the Lord, I'm reading from the King James, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout where? The whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. That word there is, that word perfect means wholehearted. It means fully committed. It means your heart is, you know, what does the scripture say? Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So this here, he's saying that he's looking for those whose heart is fully committed to them. The New Living, it says just that. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those, boy, I like this, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Ooh. It says he's looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's the New Living Translation. Isn't that, boy, that's good. That is so good. Wow. So let's take a quick look again here. Let's go back over to Ephesians. Let's go to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's take a quick look and see, where is this glory? It's in us. Ephesians chapter 1. And this familiar prayer that Paul's uttering is verse 16. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what... And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And then we read this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now let's go over to Ephesians 3. Let's look at verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory. That's just what we got done reading in Psalms. Unto him be glory, where? In the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He gets the glory. All of the glory. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where is this glory? This glory is in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or you could say freedom, some scriptures say, translations. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. But we've got to believe that. We've got to expect it and look for that. The Amplified, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Oh boy. Where are we going to behold this glory? In the Word of God. Hallelujah. And are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Glory to God. Where are we beholding this glory? In the Word of God. And as we do, that's what this says here, as we continue to behold, we are changed from one ever-increasing degree of, we're constantly, that's what I like, constantly being transfigured and changed into His very own image, into the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important. Stay in the Word, feed in the Word, receive His commandments and do them. Hallelujah. And as we do, this says here, we are being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor. That's why I love sometimes highlighting that story from Rwanda about the shining ones, because that's just exactly what happened. As they walked in love, as they obeyed the Word of God, they were transfigured and they began to shine. They were transfigured and began to actually reveal the glory of God. That's what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He began to shine. He was transfigured. I remember Brother Hagin talking about it. He said when he was in ministry, he was teaching somewhere, and they, you know, the demonstrations years ago, and I'm talking about the 40s, 50s, he talked about how he would preach and walk off the end of the stage and be in midair and come back and turn around and walk back again. We haven't seen that. And they're talking, I mean, they talk about that, not just him, others. It said they got so excited, they were preaching the Word, teaching, they walked off the stage, they didn't even realize they were. And they walk right back. I know one time I was in the prayer room, this is many years ago. You can help me with the date. It was somewhere around 1980, 82, somewhere around 81, 82. But I was at a Kenneth Copeland crusade in Fort Worth. And it was the Southwest Believers Convention. And this particular brother who worked for the ministry was facilitating the prayer for that week. And it was open, it wasn't closed, and so I just had a heart to pray. I wanted to be a part of that. And so I would go to his crusades, and I would go in the prayer room. And if you were in, you know, the stipulation was at that time, and they've changed it, so it's changed, but that's the way it was, that you had to be in for at least 2 consecutive days because they were teaching and they wanted everybody to be in agreement so that when we're praying, we're all in agreement. So if you showed up, let's say on a Wednesday or a Thursday, you were not allowed in. Now, they've since changed some things along that line, but I'm just sharing back then. So there were times. They've since knocked this one coliseum down. I remember one time I went to Charlotte. And down at Charlotte to the coliseum, we were in a closet. And Kenneth Copeland's mother was in there. There was a number of us in there praying. And so anyways, this particular time at Fort Worth, This was the worldwide communion service. Some of you may remember where he hooked up with satellites around the world, and they broadcast that particular convention and communion with everybody around the world. That was a big deal. I was in the prayer room at that night, and when we went in, it was a room about this size, just like this. It was loaded with people, and in there was Phil Driscoll and his band, and it was a hoot. He was in there singing, blowing the horn, and it was something. But I remember during the week, there was one demonstration that I saw that had my eyes blinking. You know, that's just blinking. Because this guy was, he anointed this guy. And I'm laying on the floor. I'm just laying my head down. I'm laying on the floor flat. And he anointed this person. And this guy shouted. He went, woo! And he stood up. Off the floor, like you took a rake and went, you stick on the end of a rake and it goes, boom, up. That's what this guy did. He came up off the floor, nobody was around him, and he's standing straight up. And I'm telling you, I blinked my eyes a few times and I said, I just saw somebody come up off the floor and nobody touched him. And I saw that, and I never really understood it. And years after that, I heard a tape by Brother Hagin. And this is what Brother Hagin said. He said, oh, yeah, he said, you know, we think it, this is what he said. He said, oh, yeah, we think it's a big deal when people fall out under the power of the Spirit. He said, wait till we start seeing coming up off the floor. That's what Brother Hagin said. And I went, ah. So this guy came up off the floor under the power of God. And I'll tell you, when you see it the first time, I blinked. But that's what we're talking about. Where the glory of God is honored and respected and given due, we'll see these kind of manifestations. That's what happened in that prayer room. He was honored. He was revered. And sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes you will see these types of demonstrations and manifestations in demonstration. You will. It's not that we're looking for them, but God will do that, excuse me, and he will reveal himself. What did he say? I will make myself plain. I will reveal myself to you. Right? So it's just, to me, it's an exciting time to be living, because God said to this church, you are going to get a greater revelation in the unity of the body of Christ than others have. And I'm going to hold you accountable for it. What does that mean? That as we get a greater understanding in the things of God, and it's because we are, first of all, we're doing the word. He's going to give us more. He's going to reveal more to us. Because the teaching of the word of God, as we've heard from other prophecies, started from the beginning of this ministry. And more has been given. More revelation has been given. More understanding has been given. And so we're going to be held more accountable. I think that's exciting to me. Because God wants to do something wonderful, who? Through the body of Christ, and do greater works, greater things. And that's how it's going to be done. It's going to be done through his glory, through his power, and he will manifest himself through us as we honor him, as we give him glory. And we look to him, but we've got to believe. We got to believe, Lord, I'm available. Use me. And if there's anything in the way, that's why, you know, sometimes when we think about even communion, when we had communion Sunday, he said, what does he say? Some of you are sick and weakly because what? You're not examining yourself. You're not treating What does it say? You're not walking worthily, right? Well, what does that mean? That just means that you're not walking in love. You're not operating in the commandments. And because of that, when we receive communion, he takes that very seriously. He tells us, don't do that if you're walking unworthily. And I think the same thing happens here. If we don't give him honor, then what does it say? He said, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that lightly esteem, so will I. So as we seek him with all of our heart, he is going to manifest himself in a greater measure. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you. But this area is going to be changed just because of our presence here. Just because of this church presence here, as we come and worship him, he will work through that worship. I remember up in Pennsylvania, you know, it has a very interesting, but it has a very interesting history, and there's things that, you know, and baggage and things like that, that are known in that area where the church is up there. And I remember years ago when we were there, I was on the stage and it was getting ready to teach, and I heard very clearly down here, I heard his voice. He said, if you will come here and worship me, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. I mean, just as clear as I heard that. And I said, okay. So that means same thing here. If we come and worship him, give him the honor, let him manifest himself through us, then when we go out, we're going to impact this neighborhood, impact this area, and he will do what? When he said he'll push back the darkness, we can't do that. He's going to work through our worship, and he will push back the darkness what? So the light can shine. So the atmosphere changes, that people will begin to see, I need God. I'm empty. I mean, we see people dribble in now and then and they say, you know what? I just something told me to come to church. I need God. That's darkness being pushed away, and people all of a sudden, the light of God begins to shine in on the hearts of people. That's what we're talking about, an awakening. People awaken to God. How does that come about? Through darkness being pushed out and us seeking God, right? So he gets the glory. Amen, amen. I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that your glory is being manifested in a greater measure in each one of us. And we thank you, Father, that as we leave these grounds, we thank you, Father, that we go out into our various communities. We thank you that we bring the glory with us. And we thank you, Father, that it's this glory that's housed in these earthen vessels. And we thank you, Father, that we bring the love of God. We bring the compassion of God. We bring the grace of God with us. And we thank you, Father, that we can touch this earth and this world in our communities with your love, with your glory, with your presence. And we thank you that when we come and we assemble together is like precious faith, the body of Christ, to give you honor and glory. And you strengthen us. And we thank you for it. We give you praise today. We give you honor for inhabiting us, for being amongst us, and for strengthening us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is getting the glory. And he's strengthening us so that we can do his work. Hallelujah. Glory to God.